Dear Lord, we love you so much. We're just so thankful for how awesome and great you are. So, Lord, we're just here to just praise your name this morning. God, I pray that you speak through Brother Bill. Lord, that we hear your voice, that we be changed this morning because of you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team, Jack. Man, what good worship this morning. Have your Bibles with you this morning, or your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have scripture on this morning. And find your place with me, if you will, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We'll be in one verse this morning, verse 38. You know, oftentimes we credit Paul for being the world's greatest missionary. Read through the book of Acts, and Paul was one of the first missionaries that took the gospel around in Asia and different places, Macedonia, and went to Rome. And so gets a lot of credit for it. But here's a good Bible trivia question. Who was the first missionary in the world? That would be Jesus. That would be Jesus. Think about it. I want you to think about it this morning. As we think about sharing the gospel around the world, as we think about Lottie Moon and supporting missionaries all over the world and people hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ, I want you to think in terms of this, that Jesus Christ was the first, and I would say the greatest missionary the world has ever known. Now, I've had the opportunity to travel and to go on mission trips. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting, when you go on a mission trip and you go into a foreign country, you go into a place that you've never been before, you meet people that have never been to the United States. And so as many questions as you have about them, they have about you. You know, they want to know, what do you eat there? And what do you do for entertainment? What's life like there? You know, what kind of house do you live in? All those kind of things. And so can you imagine Jesus when he would go to somewhere on a mission trip and they would ask him questions like that, like, what's it like where you come from? You know, is there electricity there? And he'd say, no, there's no need for light there. My Father is the light. Amen. They'd ask him questions like, what's the principal crop? And he said, well, we have a tree there that's the tree of life, and it bears 12 fruits, right? That's what Revelation says. They would ask him a question like, what about crime there? And he said, well, it's very safe there. He says, in my Father's house, there's no evil there, right? That'd be a good place to live, right? They'd ask him, what's the neighborhood like? Well, he said, it's kind of an exclusive neighborhood. He said, I live in a place where it's gated, and we have streets of gold. That's the neighborhood that I come from, right? What about the language that's spoken there? And he says, well, the language that we speak there is the language of praise. We just praise the Lord. Well, what about customs there? Do y'all have big weddings there? He says, no, they're not given to weddings there. We're all just brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Those would be maybe some of the questions that he would have and maybe how he would respond. But I want you to look at this verse this morning. In John chapter 6, here in verse 38, it's just a simple little verse. Jesus responds and he says, for I have come down from heaven. Look at that. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He is sent to us from his home as a missionary with a message of life, a message of forgiveness, a message of grace, a message of mercy, a message that gives us hope. What an incredible missionary Jesus is. When you think about it, notice first Jesus' willingness to leave family and home. This verse says, for I have come down from heaven. It is that Jesus left heaven and came to earth. He had a real existence before he was born. You know, this is one of the things that we miss sometimes in our theology. We think, well, you know, at Christmas time, Jesus was born. He was born in a manger, and he came to life, if you will. Well, that's not where Jesus began. Jesus is eternal God. He's always existed. He lived and He dwelt in heaven. The Bible says in John 1, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing that was made was made. And so it points to the fact that Jesus Christ, in His eternal existence, lived and then came to earth. This verse really points back to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3. The Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 3, Jesus or God spoke, "Let there be light." The Bible says that the world was covered in darkness, and in that moment, God spoke, "Let there be light." And out of nothing and out of darkness, there was light. And that was created through Jesus Christ. He's part of that creation. He is the light of the world. I don't know about you, but I've been in that darkness. Man, I've been in that darkness several times in my life. I have a habit of finding my way back there sometimes. I remember as an 18-year-old young guy in college thinking I was going to be the next Johnny Bench, realizing that I was not. And man, it was a dark place. It was a dark time in my life. I didn't have a plan B. And man, I thought, what am I going to do? Where do I go from here? What's life going to be like? And I muddled my way through that. And then, you know, years passed and I got married and I had kids and I hit another dark spot. And I thought, wow, man, I'm not doing very good at this. I'm a pretty sorry individual. I'm not a good man. And I'm not a good husband. And I'm a sorry daddy. And man, it was a dark time in my life again. Man, I'm going to tell you, April the 5th, 1987, God said, "Let there be light." And the light of the world came to reside in my heart. And the darkness was dispelled. You see, that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came from His home to our world in order that the darkness might be dispelled and that you and I might be able to experience what light really is. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets." See, there were others before Jesus came to earth. There were prophets who God had sent here. And He says, "In these last days has spoken to us by whom? By His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." In John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." In the present. He says, when Jesus came from heaven to earth, it was certainly a change of geographical locations. Amen? In John chapter 3 and verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." See, heaven is a real place. It's not just a figment of our imagination. It's not just something that's alluded to as a symbol of good and perfect and all that. It's a real place. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you will go." See, He came from a real place to earth to reveal Himself to us. Well, what are we to understand by His coming from heaven? How do we understand that, and how do we apply that in our own life? If you want to be like Jesus, you have to be willing to leave family and home in order to share the gospel around the world. That's what our missionaries do. Our missionaries leave family and home and go all over the globe to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. They spend birthdays away from home. There's things that happen back home with their family. There's death. There's all kinds of things that still happen. Life still happens. But they've been called from that to go and to share the gospel. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 25, There's a great multitude went with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Really, preacher? I have to hate my mom and dad? I have to hate my brothers and sisters? Maybe hating brothers and sisters is easier than hating mom and dad. I don't know. But listen, it's not to say literally that we hate them. It is that we love God so much more so. Comparatively speaking, it would be almost as though we hate our... That is that we put the things of God way more important than we put the things of our own family. Sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy just to go and to share the gospel wherever God sends you. Sometimes it means that you're separated from your family. Sometimes it means that you're separated from your friends. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29, and everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. See, our missionaries, they leave all of that behind and they go to these places to share the gospel with Jesus of Jesus Christ to the world. And that's a challenge. It's not easy. Can you imagine Jesus? He left the splendor of glory. And came to earth. He left being the triune God to come to earth. He left all of that was comfortable and all that he'd known and all that he eternally existed and came to earth to reveal himself to us. You know, I think sometimes when we think about our willingness to leave family and friends, maybe this morning you'd say, well, that's kind of far-fetched for me. I've never felt God calling me to a foreign mission field. I know even when Rhonda and I were talking about and praying about God, you know, his call on our life and whether we were called to preach or minister, what that all was going to look like, you know. I came in one day, I told Rhonda, I said, you know, I said, I think God's calling us to do some type of ministry. And she said, yeah, I agree. And I said, I think God's calling us to Africa. And she said, I know he's not. And she said, because if he's going to call us, he's going to call both of us. And I hadn't gotten that call. Amen? Or maybe some of us are like, you know what? I've never felt God's call because I've never been willing to answer the phone. But maybe even this morning, the greater challenge is this. Maybe it's not that God's called you to a foreign country. Maybe it's just that God's called you to go across the street. Hello? Did I lose you? You still here? Maybe it's that God called you to go to the next cubicle at work. Maybe it's just that God's called you to whatever relationship. Maybe it's a friend, co-worker, maybe even a family member. Our willingness to go where God sends us. That's what Jesus was willing to do. That's what missionaries do. And then secondly, look at this. It says that Jesus' willingness to cross cultures. He says there in that verse, he says he was sent from heaven. Now, you just got to kind of open up your mind this morning, okay? Let's just think about that. Let's just think about heaven. I mean, let's think about the streets of gold. Let's think about where there's no... presence of sin or evil or anything. Let's think about the fact that Jesus was on the throne. He left the splendors and the glory and all the majesty and all that we could ever imagine about heaven, that he left all of that and came to earth. What a dramatic change in culture, right? In all of our travels, I have a gift. I have a gift of finding the worst places in a town. I don't have to have GPS. I don't need a map. I don't need anybody to point me in that direction. I can just get in the car and drive into a town, and I just find my way there. Okay? Jesus left the splendors of glory and came to earth. Came to dwell among us. Listen, the existence he had before was purely divine. His divine nature was communicated to him from the Father. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. It's not just that he left the splendor of glory, but he gave up his own personal identity to come and be in the form of a human being, to be in the form of a man. You see, when a person is, where a person is from determines a lot about their personality. And he gave up from where he was from and he came to earth. Think about it. You and I, we're Southerners, right? There's something about us Southerners, right? When you say you're a Southerner, that doesn't just mean you're from the South. People that aren't Southerners don't understand that. It's not that you're just from the South. You're a Southerner. There's something different, right? You've heard those saying, you can take the boy from the country, but you can't take the country from the boy, right? You can take the Southerner from the South, but you can't take the South out of the Southerner, right? Well, that was Jesus. Jesus came from the splendor of glory and came to this earth. He was all God. And yet he was willing to be all man. He was able to cross those cultural lines. He was able to become one of us. You see, he's not just merely from heaven. He is heavenly. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 23, "For he said to them, 'You are from beneath, but I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world.'" But yet Jesus was still willing to cross those cultural lines and come to earth and reveal himself in the form of even a man. I love reading stories of missionaries, some of the challenges that they go through. I remember we had a missionary in one of our small groups one time, and he was telling us about the fact that they went to a village in the Philippines. They flew in, they got off the plane, they had vehicles, jeeps, that they had already arranged. And so they got in these jeeps, got all their gear in there, and they drove all day till it got dark. And they camped on the side of the road. And they got up the next morning, and then they drove again all day. When it got dark, they stopped and they camped on the side of the road. The next morning, when it got daylight, they packed up all their gear and they started hiking through the jungles, finally to reach the place where they were going to serve. I love reading those incredible stories. I read a story about one particular missionary who went to a village and he was serving there. And he and one of the village people left and went out to another village to visit. And when they got to that village there, they brought them in some of their best food, grub worms. And he's looking at these grub worms, and his partner there with him looked at him and went, "Yeah, their grub worms aren't as good as our grub worms are they?" Man, are you willing to cross some cultural barriers? I don't know about grub worms, right? I remember being in El Salvador one day and was traveling there with the missionary, and they had a radio station. And it was about this time of the year, and they were kind of winding things down for the end of the year. And they were going to have kind of a Christmas party there at the radio station. And he was giving a little bonuses to all the little workers there and everything. And so we went in and they brought out the food. And they bring this food out on this platter. And there's these sandwiches. And they were wrapped, each one, in a paper towel. And the paper towel, you could tell, had started absorbing some of the things that were in the sandwich. And it was like really, really red. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but it doesn't look appetizing. And so they gave me one of those sandwiches, and when I unwrapped it, it was just white bread with beets. I'm not eating beets. I love Jesus, but I don't like beets. I said, I'm not eating that. Listen, man, they faced some challenges out there on the mission field, right? Listen, Jesus was willing to cross all of those barriers to come to earth and to reveal himself to us. What must have Jesus thought in his humanness, okay? Just think about this. A little imagination this morning. Think about it. Jesus in his humanness, he left a sinless heaven and he came to a sin-filled world. Can you only imagine what a change in culture that was? From being the recipient of worship, that the Bible says that he came and he wasn't even recognized. In fact, he was rejected. Can you imagine going from being praised to being rejected? Or from being on the throne of glory to now lying in a feed trough in a barn, in a cave? Can you only imagine? Can you imagine going from walking on gold, asphalt, to having manure all around on the floor there where he was born? Can you only imagine what a change that would have been? Or from being the omnipotence to being a little child that his mother had to carry him around? Or maybe from speaking the worlds into an existence. Now he's learning how to build furniture with his earthly father. Or maybe from a sinless environment to just being like seeing all around. You ever been in those places? I was in one of those places again on the mission field. There in El Salvador, they don't have freezers. They don't have, you know, storage for meats and those sort of things, Jack. And so you get up early in the mornings and you go down to the local market and they have fresh meat. I mean, like fresh meat, like the animal's still sitting there. And they're chopping him up, you know. And you walk in this room and it's just concrete tables. And they're just in there, just, you know, and you buy whatever meat you want. And if you get there at 9, you're late, okay? And then they come in there and they just hose it all down with a water hose and get ready for business the next day. And you walk through there and you just think, I need to go home and take a bath, you know? Just walking through here is not good, you know? I'm thinking Jesus left the splendor of glory in a perfect world and he came to this old sin-filled world. What change that must have been. And so I have to ask myself this morning, what barriers do I have to cross to be like Jesus? You see, we have to be willing to share with people that don't look like us. They don't talk like us. You may not realize this. Some of you Southerners have never traveled outside of the South. And you may not realize this, but there's people that live in other parts of the United States of America, the very country that we're all in. There's other people that live in this country that have some weird accents. Right, Elton? I've got a dear, dear friend of mine. He's from Boston. He talks funny. He's a great guy. Just don't know how to talk right. I'm just picking. There's a world out there that doesn't talk just like us. There's a world out there that dresses a little different from us. There's a world out there that's got some different political views than we do. There's some people out there that like sports. And there's some folks out there, Jack, that are state fans. There's some folks out there that are soon going to be LSU fans. there's all kinds of cultures out there. And our challenge is to be willing to cross those cultural barriers in order that we might share the love of Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus. To love people that aren't like you. Could you imagine how different Jesus was from everybody else in the world? And yet Jesus didn't allow his differences to keep him from loving people. Love them unconditionally. Love them steadfastly. Love them everlastingly. Amen? And then lastly, notice Jesus' willingness to submit to the Father's will. He says, I was sent from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, as Christ came from heaven, so he came not to do his own will, but to do the will of him who sent him. We are sent. The Bible says, to go ye therefore. The Bible says in Acts 1 that when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. We've all been sent, not according to our will, but according to His will. You see, as man, His will was distinct from the Father, but still He was subordinate to the Father. The Bible records in Matthew 26 and verse 39, as He's going to the cross, He's under agony about what's about to happen. And He went a little further, the Bible says, and He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." There's times in our life where we're like, "God, this is really what I would like to do. God, this is really like where I would want to go. God, this is really where I would want to be. But God, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done." That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Our very existence is to do the will of the Father. And so by acquainting us with what is necessary to be known or done in order to be saved, He came and said, "Father, not my will be done, but Your will be done." You see, He came by giving us in His own person a perfect example. It says in Matthew, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. It's not easy all the time to follow Jesus. Sometimes you have to go in difficult places, and sometimes you have to deal with difficult people. And sometimes it causes real suffering. But Jesus was willing to suffer on our behalf. And so we should be willing to suffer so that others could come to know Christ. He gives us an example of what it is to be in the will of Father, even by struggle, by enabling us to perform whatever He calls us to. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, "I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Again, it's our connection to Christ to do the will of the Father by dying for us. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Lord, I don't want to be a ransom for many. "But not my will be done, but Your will be done." God, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to struggle through life. But God, nevertheless, not my will be done, but Your will be done. We sang that song last week, "Through It All, Through It All." I don't know if you realize this or not, but do you realize what all is? There's a lot of stuff out there when you start talking about "through it all," right? I mean, it's through it all, man. There's a lot of all out there some days. But we learn to depend on Him. And through it all, nevertheless, not my will be done, but Your will be done. By interceding for us, Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them." He's always willing to be there in the gap for us. You see, if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to be willing to leave home. We have to be willing to cross cultural barriers. We have to be willing to live in submission to God's will for our life. That's what makes great missionaries. And the reality is, a missionary isn't just someone who is over on another planet, another continent. It's every one of us. Every one of us have been called to be missionaries. Some of us have been called to be missionaries right here in Pittsburgh. Some of us have been called to be missionaries at your workplace. That's what you're not there to make widgets. You're not there just to make a paycheck. You're there to be on mission for Jesus Christ. And when you realize why you're there, it'll change how you're there. Hello? And so to follow that example of Christ, listen, Jesus had come on history's greatest rescue mission. He says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Every one of us need to be on mission. It's the message of that cross that our missionaries carry around the globe today. It's the treatment of these missionaries to share the good news of Jesus Christ. There's something else about missionaries. We send them out and they do go and they stay and we support them. But then there's those times when they get to come home and share. And I think about Jesus. He came to this earth on a mission. On a mission to be the light of the world. To break into the darkness so that we might know what His glorious light is. And on the cross He said, "It's finished." Not "I'm finished," but "it's finished." The mission work was done. It was time to go back home. And He rose on the third day, and 40 days later He ascended to the Father. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father today making intercession for us. Again, just my imagination. Can you imagine when He got back to heaven? "Father, let me tell you what was going on down there." And the Father just sits there and listens to Him. And Father, knowing all the time, "I know, I've been watching you." Right? Amen. I knew all along what was going on. But He comes back and He gives these incredible stories. John chapter 16, verse 16 says, "A little while and you will not see me because I go to the Father." He told him, "I've got to go. My mission's going to be finished one day." And then John 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." There's going to be a day when our mission here is going to be complete. And God will call us home. We'll get to go back home. This is not our home, you understand? We're just sent here on mission. One day God will call us home. But between now and then, my prayer is that God would find us faith to be on mission, to be like Jesus, willing to leave home, willing to cross cultural barriers, willing to submit to the will of God so that the world might know that there's a God who loves them and a God who desires to have an intimate personal love relationship with them. Amen? Would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, all of us this morning, being on mission, sent from above to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you would be an individual. For whatever reason, man, it's not that you've never been to church, but God just in a special way this morning has stepped into your darkness and there's been a great light. And this morning you've come to realize that the God of heaven loves you and sent His Son to die on a cross for your sins. And this morning, would you just receive that gift? This morning, you would just simply pray, God, this morning, for the first time, I realize, God, you truly desire to have an intimate personal love relationship with me. God, I ask you this morning to forgive me my sins, come into my heart, and be the Lord and Savior of my life. God, today, thank you for loving me. God, thank you for speaking into my life. God, this morning, I commit my life to living according to your will from this day forward. That be your prayer this morning? Would you just make that your personal desire today? Maybe this morning you say, "Preacher, I know Christ Jesus. But there's some folks in my world that don't. There's some folks in my world that are in darkness. Would you just pray that God would help me be light to them?" Would that be your prayer this morning? Father God, this morning again, we just come and we humble ourselves in your presence. What an awesome and incredible God you are. And God, thank you for sending Jesus. God, Jesus, thank you for coming. God, Jesus, thank you for just being willing to come to earth, to dispel the darkness, to bring a great light. And so, Father, this morning we're so grateful for this gift of salvation. And especially this time of the year when we celebrate the birth of Christ, the greatest gift ever given to man. God, I pray this Christmas, God, that we would recognize, and God, that we would have a greater awareness. God, that we're to share that gift with the world. God, that each and every one of us would recognize that we're missionaries sent. And Father, that we will be found faithful. God, I pray this morning for individuals, God, who have never come to that point, place in their life where they've trusted you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. God, their lives are in darkness. God, nothing seems to make sense. And I pray, God, this morning, they would could just simply give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. God, this morning, that you would step into their world and dispel the darkness. Father, again, this morning, we love you and we praise you and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, this is a hymn of invitation. It's a time of worship. It's a time of celebrating what God's done. But it's also your opportunity to respond. And so this morning, the prayer altars are open. Maybe this morning, you would just simply come and pray for those in your world that you know need Jesus. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. But I just sense to think sometimes, if we're not willing to pray, we're probably not willing to go. And so we just simply pray this morning for those. Maybe this morning you've never trusted Christ. You're that one. Man, we would love to celebrate that with you today. Would you just come forward this morning and say, Pastor, today for the first time, I'm trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would you just simply come and share that with us today? We'd love to celebrate it with you. Maybe this morning you say, I need to do that. I still don't understand it. Hey, come this morning, man. We got some folks that will pray with you and help you understand it, okay? So as we stand and as we sing this morning, you come today. Without waiting, without hesitating, come this morning.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
You will just have an incredible, incredible Christmas season and God just reveal Himself in a special way. Hey, I want to make you aware and draw your attention to just a couple of things that are going on. There's a lot of activities, obviously, in the month of December. And so there's a little calendar inside your worship guide that has several of those things highlighted there. Ladies, next Saturday on the 6th, there's a brunch. And so make plans to be here and be a part of that. Also, we're collecting, Sunday school classes are collecting gifts for children on a project that we're doing through the Good Shepherd. And then on Sunday, December the 14th, right after the morning service, there is a young adult connect event. Christmas carnival type event. We'll be eating some food, playing some games, and just hanging out. And so all of our young couples and young people, we want to really stress and invite you to come. Bring a friend, be a part of that as well. And there's other things going on. We're going to, December the 21st, our deacons will be having breakfast that morning for us. So in lieu of our Sunday school hour, we'll have breakfast that morning. We'll be in the Family Life Center. We'll share Christmas stories. We'll have some songs there. Then we'll come into the worship center, and we'll have a little more formal worship time there. The kids will be in. We'll have stories with them. It'll be just a really kind of a family Christmas time that morning, December the 21st. So come be a part of that as well. So there's a lot going on. Make sure that you put that on your calendar. Get plugged in and come and be a part of that. Man, it's been good to be in worship this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So glad somebody said, hey, you want to go to church this morning? Amen? Let's do it. Hey, let's continue to worship this morning. This isn't the end. It's not over. Today's the Lord's day. Let's worship Him.
That's right. Let's remember we serve a great and mighty God.
Amen. Let's sing that.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the banner that the anthem free, praises to our King. Great